Praise the Lord, everyone. How many are glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Amen. How many understand you serve a good God? Amen. Again, many thanks to the District of Alabama and also to the steering committee and sponsors of the Alabama Revival Conference for allowing us to be here. We do appreciate it very much. Hospitality is, without a doubt, first class here. We do appreciate that also. Appreciate your response to the word of the Lord, and it's always a pleasure to share the pulpit with men who are greater than you, and that causes you to rise to the occasion. So I do appreciate what powerful words of the Lord we've heard, and direction and help. Everybody say help. I'm glad for the help that comes through the word of God. Amen. Especially in time of need. Amen. If you turn in the book of Genesis with me, see if we can get through this today, all right? The book of Genesis. And let me call your attention to chapter 41. And Genesis chapter 41 and verse 50. And Joseph called the name of the firstborn, verse 50. And unto Joseph were born two sons before the years of famine came, which Asenath, the daughter of Potiphar, priest of On, bare unto him. And Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, for God, saith he, hath made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. And the name of the second called he Ephraim, for God has caused me to be fruitful in the land of my afflictions. And so I want to talk to you on this subject, forgotten past and blessed future. Forgotten past, blessed future. I'm going to need some help. I didn't ask for help yesterday. I just kind of sat here and talked to you, but I'm going to need some help today. How many is going to help me preach just for a little bit? You may be seated. Jesus said, while you are in the world, you will have tribulation. Thank you very much. Job reminds us that a man that is born of a woman is a few days old and filled with trouble. It is a fact of life that life carries many things, that life is not fair, that things are not equal, that situations and circumstances in life do not play out the way we think they should, or the way we think they ought to, or the way we want to. But sometimes you have to play the game and play the cards, if I can use that, that are dealt to you. Amen. And you cannot sit around and wish you were somebody else, somewhere else, doing something else. What you've got to do is play your hand. One old country western singer said, you got to know when to hold them. You got to know when to fold them. You got to know when to walk away. And you got to know when to run. But I say you got to know when to play them. If you always fold, if you always hold,
If you always run away, you'll never get any place. But if you stand flat-footed and say, this, I'm going to play this hand. I wish somebody come on and help me preach. We're confronted by the fact that things are not always as they're seeming to be. That situations and circumstances in our life are not always conducive to where we're trying to get to. That where we start is not always where we end up. Oh, I feel like preaching here someday. That you cannot judge what I look like now from where I'm going to be on my tomorrow. Because I can look gone on yesterday and I can arrive at a place in my destiny with God. I'm coming to tell somebody, don't let your tomorrow conflict with your future. I'm sorry, don't let your yesterday keep you from what God has for you on tomorrow. Now notice, I'm going to be very, very careful not to tread. The bishop already told us that we need the bones of tomorrow, the musculoskeletal system of revival. But I'm telling you, there are some skeletons we don't need. I wish I had somebody help me today. I said, we need the skeletons of revival, but there's some skeletons that we've got hidden in a closet somewhere that we don't want nobody to know about and nobody to see. And the devil's got you to convince. If anybody finds out about that, you'll never be what God says you to be. But I'm telling you, pull your skeletons out of the closet. Break the bones down and let the world know I am who God says I am. I am who God says I am. Amen. We're confronted today. It was in the Ecclesiastes. It says, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. I know it's early, but I'm trying to preach to you. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. Friend, if you would have saw me when I began, you wouldn't have never guessed that I'd be standing here today. If you would have saw me one quarter of the way in the journey, you wouldn't have thought that I'd be here. If you would have saw me halfway in the middle of my journey, you're not hearing what I'm preaching. But somewhere the God factor stepped in. And my whole life began to change. And now I'm not what I used to be. I'm not where I want to be, but I'm not what I used to be. I've come too far to turn around now. I believe I'll run on and see what the end's going to be. I remember when my pastor said, I think you have a calling. I said, I think you got, no, it's not even there. You don't know where I came from. I think the hand of God is on your life. I said, that may be. I think God's calling you to preach. I said, no, I don't think so. Because you don't know the skeletons in my closet. How can God use somebody like me? I guess I'm the only one that thinks like that. How is God really going to take this lump of clay and transform it into a vessel of honor? How's God going to take all of my dishonor, all of my faults, and all of my failures, and all of my inconsistencies, and everything that I know I can do? How? But I don't know how he does it, but I do know that he will do it. Jesus, understanding these, said, woe unto them by whom offense comes. He tells us, you will be offended. Oh, I'll slow down and preach now. You are going to get offended. You won't be able to help yourself. Somebody is going to mess with you. Even when you come to church, you're going to have to negotiate some things. You're going to have to deal with some stuff. You cannot control what people do to you. But you can control what's done to you. All right. Let me state it another way. You cannot control what people do, but you can control the way you allow it to affect you. You cannot stop people from lying on you, but you can stop how you react to it. You can't stop people from hurting you, from wounding you, but you can. You do have a measure of control. How are you going to deal with it? I made up my mind a long time ago. I will not be offended. I will never let any person, any man, any woman get in between me and God that's going to cause me to lose my relationship, lose my prayer life, lose my anointing, lose... I wish I had some preaching folks in this house. I come to tell somebody, forget your past. He said, are you out of your mind? I can't forget it. I don't mean erase it from your memory. When Paul says, forgetting those things which are behind me, he didn't mean erase them from your memory. That's the wrong definition. He meant to disembrace yourself from it. Keep it in remembrance so it is there, but disembrace yourself. In other words, whatever is about that situation that causes you to feel how you feel, you need to deal with it. In today's vernacular, we call it get over it. I got an issue. Well, get over it. Easily said, harder to be done. When somebody abuses you, when somebody messes with you, when somebody wounds you deeply, when somebody breaks your heart or wounds your spirit, the Bible says a man with a wounded spirit, it's easier to take a city than it's to deal with somebody that's wounded, that has been offended. Why? Because they see everything through their offense. They see everything through their hurt. Are y'all hearing what I'm preaching to you today? And it doesn't matter what God says or anybody else. As long as you've got that situation in your life, you cannot move forward. Because you cannot hold on to the past and reach into the future at the same time. If you're holding on over here, it doesn't matter how much you stretch. Paul says, so I'm letting go of those things which are behind me. And now I can press. You see, as we stand in this august body, as we stand in here, blacks and whites and Hispanic and all other culture, you come to one realization that we're all human beings and that the color of your skin, are you hearing me preach to you yet? We all look good on the outside, but somewhere inside of us, we have wounds and scars that have been dealt to us. And some of you today are still trying to deal with them. You got issues that you're trying to deal with. You got past things that you're trying to deal with, and you're having a hard time getting over the hump. And the devil doesn't want you to get over the hump, and your flesh doesn't believe you can get over the hump. But I'm coming to tell you today, you can get over it and get done with it and move on with your life and grab something that's greater than what's happening to you. Jesus stands there and he looks around, and the same people that he healed now have stones in their hands. The one that said, cried Hosanna, are now crying crucify. And he's standing there with the nails pounded into his feet and into his wrist and the blood oozing from his body. He said, friend, why are you doing that? And he said, Father, forgive them. Let me tell you something. The greatest thing that will hold you from your destiny is unforgiveness. I'm just going to preach to him. The thing that's going to keep you from getting to where God's going to want you to be. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood. What you're wrestling against is your own mentality. You're wrestling against your own human spirit. It is your lack of forgiveness. It is your inability to deal with the bitterness that's weighing down in your heart. It's your inability to fold them stuff up and move on with your life. You still go back. Every time God wants to move you to a place of blessing, you want to go back in the closet and look what they did to me, and look what she did to me, and look what he said about me. And friend, that's why you're still where you are. What you got to do is deal with it, close the door, and walk on and say, God, it doesn't matter what they said, it doesn't matter what they did, I forgive them out of the very depths of my heart, and now I want to move on. Forgotten past. That means that I've actually disembraced myself to the point. You know, when somebody hurts you deeply, somebody wounds you, how do you know when you have forgiven them? The first process is we forgive from the lips. But Jesus said, except you forgive from the heart. The heart. We come to the altar and from the lips we say, Father, forgive them. But deep down in our heart, it is still there. You say, you're crazy. I'm not crazy. Esau did this. Esau saw Jacob coming and he seen him. He saw all. He says, what meaneth all of these gifts and this big parade? He said, I have seen this. I've seen the face of God. And he kissed him and Esau kissed him back. And it was. But he never forgave him. He took his hand and he kissed him and he fell on his neck and he wept him. But he hated Jacob to his dying day. As a matter of fact, he hated him so much that the hate that he had for Jacob went down. You're not hearing what I'm saying. It went down the generation because even the children of Esau hated the children of Israel. Friend, when you are bitter, the Bible says the root springs up and many are defiled. Amen. That bitterness you have, it's affecting your marriage. Okay, just sit there. All right. It's affecting your marriage. It's affecting everything in your life. You are infected with the cancer. That person that you're holding, they don't even know you have this cancer growing on the inside of your spirit. And you think it is all right. It keeps you up in the middle of the night. It keeps you crying about it. You're not hurting anybody but yourself. And then when God blesses that person that offends you, then you get mad at God. How can you bless them after what they did to me? Maybe they repented. Maybe they dealt with it. Maybe they made it right. You're not hearing what I'm preaching. And while you're stuck there locked, oh God, have mercy. While you're stuck there locked in your own human anatomy and you're locked in the cages and the confines of your own human defeat, this person has dealt and gone on. And sometimes God will bless them just to make you angry. Sometimes God will bless them, you're not hearing what I'm preaching with you, to see how you're going to deal with it. I cannot help what you do to me, but what you do to me will not make me do anything to him. I'm going to say, God, take it out. If there's anything in my heart, if there's anything in my spirit that's going to cause me to lose my relationship, I want to deal with it now. Let me come out here amongst you. Is that all right? Let me tell you something. I've seen parents that still have problems. I've seen kids that has unforgiveness still dealing from their childhood. I've seen girls tripping and got issues because somebody stole their high school boyfriend and you ain't seen him or her in 20 years, but you can't move on from it. Is anybody hearing me preach to you today? There are some of you that are in first, second, third, and fourth marriages and you're still treating your new husband like he was your old husband because you never dealt with it. Amen. You have issues. We call them insecurities. We call them all kind of things, but what they are, the bedrock of them is nothing but unforgiveness and bitterness and anger and our inability to deal and look ourselves in the mirror and say, I've got some problems that I need God to fix. Some of you are held captive because you've been abused or you've been molested and you think somehow you became the victim. There's nothing wrong with you, but there was something wrong with the person that did it to you. But you've got to look at yourself and say, if God loves me, why do I hate myself? If God is okay, you're not hearing what I'm preaching to you today. The best thing you can do is come to the altar and say, God, I don't like what this person did to me, but I'll tell you what, I want to release them right here in the name of Jesus. I want to release him and release it and release it all, because if I can forget my past, I can move on to a blessed future, something that's greater than where I am, something that's greater than where I want to be. Is anybody hearing me preach to you today? In the book of Isaiah, chapter 42, it talks about a time in Israel. But the prophet says something to us that we need to understand. He says something that is really, really, it's encouraging. And the prophet says to us today, but now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called I have called thee by name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, they shall not be you shall not be burned, neither shall the flames kindle upon thee. What that tells me, it does not matter what I go through or how I go through it or whatever it is, that God is still going to be with me. That the floods of trouble will not drown me. That the waters of adversity will never overtake me. That the fire that has been set will never burn me. That the trap that the devil lays will never snare me. That no weapon formed against me shall prosper. I wish I had somebody come on and help me preach today, because I understand something. God is greater than my past, and God is greater than my hurt, and God is greater than my pain, and God is, I wish somebody come on help me preach today. Don't you understand that God is greater than anything that's ever happened to you? Don't you know that God is greater than your molestation? God is greater than your adultery. God is greater than your fornication. God is greater than your failure. He's able to lift you up, turn you around, and set your feet in a place where he can deal with you and bless you. Listen to what the psalmist says in Psalm 66. He says it like this. I hope I got these marked correctly. Sometimes I don't because I'm old. Thou hast caused me to ride, thou hast caused men to ride over my head. We went through fire and through water, but thou brought us out into a wealthy place. You're not hearing what I'm saying. You caused men to ride over the top. I've been stepped on. I wish somebody come on help me preach it. I've been stepped on and walked around. I didn't get the promotion that I thought I should. Oh, yeah. And you're still mad. It was 50 years ago, and you're still mad. Somebody called you by ethnic slur, and you still got a problem. Why don't you get over it? Let me tell you something. Here is the deal about offended people. Offended people who are always offended never see the people they offend. I'm going to say that again. People who are always offended by any little thing, every little thing, they're always offended about something. They can never see the people that they offend. To them, the whole world, we're always in exaggerated parodies. Everything's exaggerated. Everybody's against me. Nobody likes me. You know what your problem is? You need a good praying through. Because, honey, you're not that special that everybody would dislike you. And you're not that pretty that you're not hearing what I'm saying. You got a problem. You need to look yourself in the mirror and say, it's time to deal with the situation. And the situation is somewhere inside of my heart. I got to get my heart right. I got to get my spirit right. I got to get my motives right. I want to be right, because if I can let go of my past, God will bless my future. Somebody say, help me, Holy Ghost. Myra. Name was Naomi. Means pleasant. But she went to Moab in time of a famine. And she said, don't call me Naomi anymore. Don't call me blessed. Don't call me pleasant. Call me Myra, which means bitter. What she says, for the Lord has dealt bitterly with me. She is a liar. A first-class liar, because God did not deal bitterly with her. She left the house of bread. She dwelled in Bethlehem, Judah. loosely translated, the house of bread. She made a willful consent to leave the place of blessing and go to Moab, a place of immorality. The incestuous son of Lot was Moab and Ammon. Are you hearing me preach to you? And they, her and her husband and her sons, turned their back on God and walked out, and then they were dealt the hand that the, you're not hearing what I'm preaching to you. I hear people saying, oh, living for God is so hard. Oh, come on, get off of it. The Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard, but the steps of a good man, I wish I had somebody help me preach here today, are ordered by the Lord. Living for God is not hard if you got your mind made up and you're living with all of your heart. Living for God is easy. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. But the way of the transgressor is hard. My reliance, it wasn't God. She did it to herself. She left full and came back empty. She lied on God as we normally do. We will either put it to the account of the devil, or we'll put it to the account of God. And we very rarely assume any personal responsibility. It's either look what the devil is doing to me, or look at what God allowed to happen to me. I'm not going to take it back. People come into my office. Oh, I go, that's got nothing to do with God. That's got nothing to do with the devil. You did that. No, it couldn't be me. Oh, yeah, it's you. Why? Oh. It's why oh you. I often tell people, it's like this guy. He's 30 stories up on a high rise on a scaffold with his legs dangling, him and his buddy. He opens his lunchbox and he screams and turns red. And we know it's the Caucasian because we can't turn red. You know what I'm saying? And believe me, I have tried. I can't blush, man. It's not even right. As a matter of fact, when I go to get to heaven, I'm going to ask God, why did you love me more than you love white people? And he's going to say, what do you mean? I said, you gave them the, I have tried to blush. You know, I've tried even to be a redneck, and I can't even do that. Close I can get to is tie a red tie around my neck, you know what I'm saying? I can get purple, though. I mean, I can get purpler. Can't even tan good, you know what I'm saying? Just playing with some of you. What was I talking about? What? Oh, thank you. That was a test. You passed. Saw Brother Bertram. Scout. Opens his lunchbox. He said, oh, my God. And he starts snorting. He slammed him in. And the guys go, whoa, dude. We're 30 floors up. What's wrong? He says, baloney. I said, what? He said, baloney. Do you know what's in my lunchbox? The guy goes, it's your box, dude. What's in it? He said, baloney, and I hate baloney. He did that for 3 or 4 days on Friday. The guy said, man, and said, dude, look, why don't we go down and get something to eat? Because if you got baloney in that lunch pail, you know, it's like, dude, come on. He opens it up. He said, do you know what's in my lunch pail? He said, he's going to look. You got to be cool. He said, look, why don't you ask your wife to fix you something different? He says, I'm not married. He said, well, who fixes your lunch? He says, I do. He said, what's the moral of the story? Most of the baloney you put up with is of your own making. If you don't like baloney, change. you're not hearing what I'm saying. Recognize that there's something else I can do to make my situation better. I can get to the altar. I can get prayed through. I can repent and repent and repent until God hears me.
Well, how do I know? I've had people hurt me, lie on me, talk about me. I had to deal with it. Wasn't easy. I'm not a good Christian. I try. My wife is a good Christian. I'm just a preacher. Because when somebody does something to me, my first reaction is revenge. I sit around and think of ways I can get them back. Sit around and think about, man, if I just had a baseball bat. First thing I do is crack both their knees so they couldn't run away. Then I'd get the right clavicle, because then you can't hit me with your right arm, and while you're holding it, I get the left clavicle. Now you can't run and you can't swing. Then I'd just be saying, why did you mess with me? I'm a peace-loving man. But now I'm about to beat you like you stole the Lord's Supper. Is there anything you would like to say while you still have teeth? I have to work on forgiveness. It doesn't come easy for me. Why? As I mean, I'm a closed person, so I don't say anything, but inside the cogs of my mind is turning. I can see visions of being a sniper. Now, who the man, you know. Forgiveness doesn't come easy for me. I want revenge. I want to get even. Square things up. I have to work hard at it. I'm being real honest. This is not a parody. I'm being honest with you. It takes me several trips to the altar. Because the first time I go, it has nothing to do with forgiveness. It has to do with what they've done to me and what I really want to do to them. And I say, God, I know what I'm supposed to pray. I know I'm supposed to love my enemies and bless them that despitefully use me, but it ain't coming out like that today. Today I want to know if you can kind of go over there where they are and like, puncture all four of their tires while they're rolling down the freeway. Pow, 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 pow. Let the chassis just drive and sparks come up and just let me drive by and wave at them. Hey. Vindictiveness, revenge, smoldering anger, fire breathing. Then my second trip to the altar is somewhat little less so vengeance, but I'm still having a problem. By now I've thought about it and I can at least say, okay, if you want to, you can forgive them. I know that's what you want me to do, but I'm not there yet. About my third trip to the altar, now I'm becoming more sane and more civil and say, okay, God, how can we do this? About my fourth trip to the altar, and then I'm coming to the place where I'm saying, this is not doing me any good. About my fifth trip, and I've really reconciled it in my mind, and I'm really forgiven. And then I see the person, and then I go all the way back to revenge. Oh, I know I'm not talking to anybody in this house. I'm not talking to anybody. I go all the way back to revenge, and I have to start the process all over again. He said, what are you talking about? I'm talking about how to know when you're forgiven. How to know when you've completely from the heart forgiven that person that you think that's hurt you so deeply. And that is when you see them, or when you talk with them, or when you think of them, none of the emotions of that event come up in you. That's when you have totally forgiven. Until then,
You're still in the process. If you look at that person, you're still angry, you're still bitter, you still want revenge, you want to exact, then you haven't forgiven from the heart. And you'll have to go to the altar again and again and again and again and again and again and again until one time miraculously you stand up and you look at them and you say, "Praise the Lord, how are you doing?" And you walk on. You just forgot your past. I'm trying to help somebody. I said, because there's some of you sitting in here today looking at me, and I can come and pick you out. That there's things in you, there's things in your past, there's things in your closet that you haven't dealt with just like that. And when you think about them, it still makes you angry. When you think about them, you still get this thing burning on the inside of you, a snarl on your face. You still cry. You still whimper about what, and you have not dealt because you cannot arise. And you've got to get to the place where God takes all of that out of you, and you arise, and you think about that person, and you look at them, and you say to your heart, you say to yourself and in your heart, it's all right now. It's all right now. And then that thing will die. And then you can do just like Jesus, because on the third day Jesus got up and says, it's all right now. I've dealt with it. And then he folds the clothes. You're not getting it. If it were me, I would have snatched those grave clothes off and threw them in the corner. But he wanted us to know, I've dealt with it all. He takes his time, and he takes the clothes that he was wrapped in, and he neatly folds it up and says, I won't need that anymore. It does you no good to throw it in the corner and not deal with it. It's still junk. What you got to do is get it folded. You're not hearing what I'm preaching to you. You got to get it folded up in a neat pile and let hell know, let the devil know, and let your own spirit know, I'm done with it. It's folded up. I'm moving on. And so here he is. Amen. Jacob is old and Joseph is there. And at 2 years before the famine, he has two sons. One is named Manasseh. One is named Ephraim. Manasseh's names mean the toil of my father's house, the mess I went through, the stuff I went through. Everything, all of my negativism was encapsulated in that boy. And then his second son, Ephraim, means God has caused me to be blessed in the lands of my affliction. In Manasseh, it was his past that God had caused him to forget. God, he had dealt with. Don't think that Joseph arrived without problems. Don't think that he had to deal mentally and emotionally and spiritually through all of the mess. Don't you think that he forgot that his brothers threw him in a pit and lied to his dad and told his dad that he was dead? Don't you ever think that he forgot that he was sold as a common slave and never saw his mother again? His mother died while he was in Egypt. Are you hearing me preach to you yet? Don't you think that he didn't have to deal with the bitterness against his brothers and the bitterness in his heart and the anger against what happened to him? And if I'm really called, why is all this really happening? If I'm really anointed, why am I in this pit? If God is really going to use me, why am I locked in this prison? Why isn't my life doing what God says it's supposed to do? What's going on, God? Are you really real? Is what you're saying in my life really going to happen? If you can just embrace yourself from what's going on right now and keep your mind focused on what God is saying to you, you will get to where you're going. So Joseph brings his two sons to Jacob. Jacob is dying. His eyes are failing. He can't see good. So the two boys are standing there, and Joseph positions them so that the right hand of Jacob is at Manasseh, and the left hand of Jacob, amen, is at Ephraim. And Jacob, with failing eyes and failing body, crosses his hand, and he places his right hand on the younger son and his left hand on the older son. And Joseph saying, not so. I And he grabs the patriarch hands, he grabs the prophet hands, and he unfolds them and he puts them back. And Jacob says, I know. I know. And he crosses them again. And he says, not so, Father. For Manasseh is the oldest. He gets the firstborn blessing, and Ephraim is the youngest. He said, I know. I know. But he crosses again. It's because God doesn't want to bless your mess. God's not interested in blessing the toil of your father's house. I'll get somebody help me preach just a little bit. He's not interested in placing a blessing on all the mess I've been through. He's not interested in blessing my stuff. He's not interested in blessing my issues, compounding them. What he wants to do is bless my future. Oh, God, have mercy. He wants to bless me in a fruitful place. He wants to cause me, his blessings, to fall on where I am more fruitful and more productive somewhere in my future. God is not interested in blessing your past, but if you don't let it go, he cannot bless your future. I'm 52 years old. I'm living like a rock star. You don't get it, do you? You don't get it. You don't get it, do you? Some of you sitting there hopeless, helpless, pathetically powerless, and you have bought the enemy's lie. But son, I'm going to tell you something. I'm living like a rock star. So what are you talking about, Brother Emery? This Holy Ghost life living is the best living there is. I will not trade you my now from my yesterday for all the money in the world. And then when I know what God's going to do on my tomorrow, you're not hearing what I'm saying. You can go back to yesterday if you want to. Why do we call them the good old days? There was nothing good about them because they were your hurt and they were your pain and there was your failures and there were your downfalls. You didn't know goodness until you came to God. You didn't know blessings until the Holy Ghost came. You didn't know that. You're not hearing what I'm preaching. You didn't know that could be so good until God put his hands on you. Why don't you come on? Why don't you come out of your sadness? Why don't you trade the garments of heaviness and put on some garments of praise? Why don't you quit feeling sorry for yourself and rise up and say, it may not be like I want it to be, but bless God, it's not as bad as it could be because God is on my side. You need to tell somebody, my life could have been messed. You should have been in a dread. Some of you should have been in a graveyard somewhere, but God stepped in. You should have been divorced a long time ago, but God salvaged your marriage. Your children should have been somewhere gone, but God's hand is on your life. You never had it so good as you had it now. I just want to let somebody know. My daddy was an alcoholic. My mom scrubbed floors for small amounts of money. We lived poor. I was abused and molested when I was a child. I've been lied on. I've been talked about. I've been misunderstood. I've been offended. But Brother Davidson, after all I've been through, I still got joy. Listen to me. My wife's had cancer. I had a 15-year-old son die. I had a great-grandbaby that died at a few months old. But after all I've been through, I still got joy. Listen to me. There's been good times, there's been dark times, there's been high times, there's been low times, there's been times I didn't know, times I couldn't do, things I couldn't get a hold of, I couldn't wrap my mind around, but after all I've been through, I still got joy. You need to get something in your head. You're going through it. You're not building a city there. You're not pitching a building there. I am going through the fire, through the flood, through the waters, through the trouble, through the situation, through the circumstance. And while I go through, I'm going to have joy. I'm going to grow through dancing. I'm going to go through shouting. Because if I can forget my past, I've got a blessed future. If I can disembrace myself from what's going on in my heart. I wonder, is there anybody that's been through some things, but you come to let the devil know, after all I've been through, I still got joy. Come on, why don't you get your place and dance?
I'm trading my shame.
Laying it down.
I'm laying it down. The joy of the Lord.
Come on, why don't you get those hands up together and begin to pray? I'm trading my
shame.
Trading my
pain.
I'm laying it down. Yeah. For the joy. Come on, if you're dealing with something today, why don't you come and dance it out of yourself? Dance your bitterness out. Dance your anger away. After all I've been through, I still got joy. Joy of the Lord is my strength.